This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I love the notion of transparent LED displays. The idea of taking a big surface and making it active, without also creating a big solid wall that blocks the view in and out. There are transparent LED display products out there, and if you could see me, I would be doing air quotes on the transparent part. That tech has matured to a level that they look great from the front, but terrible from the back, the part that's not illuminated. There is LED on transparent film. LG's looks great, but the pitch is so wide that it has limited application. I've seen much finer pitch LED on film from Chinese companies, but it also looks like crap from in behind. So I was really intrigued when I was made aware of a new company called Impactrum, which is starting to market a truly transparent film on LED that can have as fine a pitch as 6mm, but still looks great front and back. The company is actually a spin-out from a decades-old Korean LED maker. I spoke with Impactrum's US-based president, Taylor Hunter. So Taylor, I know very little about Impactrum. Could you give me a rundown on background of the company, where it came from, what you guys do, all that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave, and thanks for having me. So Impactrum is a technology company. We are headquartered, our incorporation is here in the United States, and we utilize Korean design and technologies for our products. And Korea, as you've probably seen from a, you know, their comparative advantage in the middle, you know, in Asia is within technology and design. Mm-hmm. And certainly South Korea, home to companies like Samsung, LG, Kia, Hyundai, you know, represent companies that certainly are leading in a technology and design standpoint. You know, Korea is not heavy manufacturing like you would see in China.
Right.
So, you know, Korea certainly is a technology base. Our company's been around for about 38 years on the back end designing technologies for other LED display companies. So, okay. In essence, they used our technology and designs to, you know, bring and make their products a reality.
So, were they buying and rebadging finished products or buying components?
Well, both.
Okay.
You know, it was primarily a technology share. So, they had the rights to use our technology, and then in most cases, we were actually creating some of the products. There were some unique inherent designs, utilization of, you know, how the pixels are arranged to increase apparent resolution. You know, there's a lot of back-end technologies that we allowed and shared a patented concept to be used by others.
So the Korean company is not called Impactrum. It's some Korean name?
That's correct. Yeah. So, you know, we realized a couple years back that the company was sitting on a oil field of, you know, great technology and design capabilities, and certainly wanted to make a consumer facing entity out of that, if you will, go more commercial direct. And so Impactrum is the end result of that. You know, we are at this point, we are a separate legal company, but still have, you know, ties to the technology, the design, and manufacturing resources.
Okay. So now you're going to market with LED-specific products, but these are not like the hundreds of other or even thousands of other manufacturers selling what I would say is sort of mainstream DirectView LED products. You've got a couple of products that, from what I've seen, and the reason I wanted to chat with you, were quite a bit different.
Yeah. So you know, for this year, we're really entering this marketplace, I think, in a great position with two real leading product types. One is a transparent color outdoor LED film, and the other is a line of products we call our Standio line. And the Standio line is a portable LED display, designed for numerous industries, retail, education. We have a series of outdoor street type LED displays that are very unique in their own inherent design. Notable are, some hinges that we use to make the products more portable. Secondly, the ability for these vertical panels to connect and lock together to not only use either independently or lock together to make a large 16x9 type display. So they represent some firsts in design and certainly some, technology applied to portability.
Mm. Yeah, I when I first saw the Standio product, I thought, okay, well, I've seen a whole bunch of those. There are these very vertical, stretchy LED columns that you would being marketed to stand outside of stores and so on. But it took me looking at it and digging a little deeper into it to realize, oh, I get it. So you could join a bunch of these together to make a larger display.
That's exactly it. And then there's the foldability component. Okay. Just the mere fact of a foldable panel, take some design testing. Anybody can put a hinge in the middle of a display, but what is the reliability? What is the durability? What is the effect of the overall image? So, I think what that represents, however, is to take a big step back and we really are a design company. We're not a an after the fact LED manufacturer where we see where the market's going and what products are popular and then try to make our own. Mm-hmm. We're actually listening to what the customers are telling us. We're looking at how these applications are used and coming up with designs to address the challenges that people face with their products.
So with Standio, if you're talking about working with customers, what was the problem or what is the problem that you're resolving through this?
Well, the Standio product does two things. It offers, number one, flexibility. So it's almost as if it's multiple products in one. We've had numerous retail customers tell us that they want to be able to have flexibility in and around their store. So maybe put a small panel outside, another panel inside. We've heard that they will want to lock panels together to make a larger display. Maybe put three panels together locked and, a two on either side. So one issue that is being addressed is the versatility in use. Mm-hmm. The second thing is portability. Many of these applications are used in rental environments, and the movement of these displays from location to location, protection, the weight, ease of setup, ease of use was a second issue. Mm-hmm. And part of that, again, is durability. The inherent design we've, minimized as much as possible within the design of the panel to minimize connectors, shorten cable runs, things like this, just to increase the overall inherent durability of the product.
How do you protect the LED chips?
Well, the LED chips are, certainly we have something that's a little unique, and it's called a simple board. And as I mentioned, whenever possible, we try to minimize the number of components or points of failure. Mm-hmm. So the simple board is one where it's almost as if it's three functional components in one board to minimize connectivities. But the products are all, you know, universally tested based on worldwide usage. So whatever the testing criteria is within that region, you know, CE, UL, ETL, and so on. Mm-hmm. So the product is all, you know, certainly passed the criteria, and it's designed for, you know, long life and durability.
Right. Okay. So the what really intrigued me when we first connected was the LED on transparent film thing. I've seen now for about 3 years at trade shows primarily, LED in some sort of a transparent film. The first guys to do it were LG first, just with white light, and then they got into multicolored light. But their challenge, while it looks good, is it's very coarse pixel pitch. It's more for ambient applications. And the other stuff I've seen, if it's on film, it looks pretty good from the front. It looks terrible from the back, which I don't think is workable. And then you've got the transparent LED guys who are putting it on some sort of steel or carbon fiber or something mesh that, again, looks really great from the front but has some weight to it and looks terrible from the rear end. So when I saw this, I thought, oh, this is interesting. It's transparent and the pixel pitch is potentially quite tight.
Well, yes, and it's also outdoor IP65 rated. Mm-hmm. So what we've done in essence is, you know, we also as a company have numerous marquee buildings throughout the, you know, world where we've done, you know, facade type LED displays.
With this and product so, or with earlier?
No, with traditional current facade products.
Gotcha.
And so as part of this design being outdoor, you know, we're addressing a few things. Number one, we're addressing the overall flexibility of where this film can be placed structurally. We're not limited now structurally to the top of buildings. This film, because of its, you know, just ridiculously light weight and ease of application, can almost be, you know, placed anywhere on a building. Any other outdoor environment, this product certainly applies. So, it is IP65 rated. Mm-hmm. We've done extensive testing with a UV barrier use in humid environments. So it really is designed for outdoor use. But the flexibility really is that it can also be used in indoor applications. We have a pixel pitch ranging currently from 6 millimeter up to 28 millimeter. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the 28 millimeter is applicable to, you know, facade type applications, larger viewing distances, certainly can be applicable to billboard applications and so on. And then there's a 20, 11, 8, and then ultimately the smallest currently is our 6 millimeter. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if I may, Dave, you know, you had mentioned earlier, you know, some of the inherent uniqueness to this product is what we have it's a trademark called anti-back glare. And in essence, what we're doing is if you were to put or place this film on a window and you are on the outside looking at the film, you see this nice, high-resolution, bright image. If you're on the backside of the film, looking out, there is virtually zero light leakage coming back. So you have a very clear, transparent view through the film. Okay. And that's really unique in our industry.
So it's got some sort of surround or whatever around the light pixel so that it doesn't bleed sideways or back. It funnels it out.
Yeah, it's a trademarked capability, but it's right. It's more than that. Yeah, it has to do with the substrate of the film, and there's a lot of components, but it is very unique, and it is solving one of the issues that was clearly presented to us in the design stages.
So if I'm inside a window of a building that this would be applied on a glass curtain wall, what am I seeing looking out? Am I able to see out? Is it only semi-transparent, or is it just a whole bunch of grid lines?
No. So it's what you see when you look out is it's about 92-93% transparent. It depends on the actual, you know, pixel pitch itself. Yep. So the film itself has extremely well. The biggest observable component when looking through the film is going to be the chip itself. Mm-hmm. And what we've done, which is also industry unique, is we've incorporated the use of a different chip. So we're now using a smaller chip than the traditional films. What that affords us is a higher transparency rate, number one, a increase in brightness, because the smaller 2020 chips are brighter. Mm-hmm. They offer greater clarity in terms of resolution, and then the power consumption's about 35% less.
And these chips are like the size of grains of sand, really, aren't they?
Well, so they're the, you know, so keep in mind, they are the standard chips that we find within the industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking chips that are, you know, in terms of size, they range. But the 2020, I'd have to get with the technical spec to get the actual overall dimension of
I've seen them, and they're small. Maybe like coarse sand, maybe a better way to describe it. It's not powdery, but it's they're very small.
Well, it depends on what kind of sand we're talking about, because I think the dimensional characteristics. I think it's about a 2 millimeter.
Right. Yeah. So quite small. And how are they interconnected?
It's very small.
Is it filament wire or something? Like I don't. From the images I saw, as I was saying earlier, one of the problems that the other LED on film guys, with the exception of LG, but the ones I've seen out of China, is it looks like old computer ribbon cables, and it just looks terrible from the rear.
Yeah, so you're referring to how the each panel is connected to say a control unit. Is that correct?
More so than that. It's like the whole back end of these things is, you know, there's very noticeable ribbons of plastic that are powering the actual chips.
Right.
Running the wire to power them.
Yeah. So, you know, what you see now, those inherent connectivity components are still there. Mm-hmm. But what we've done is we've made them much smaller.
Right.
So if you look at a panel, which is going to be, you know, rectangular in shape, if you will, typically at the far end of our panel, you will find that connectivity cabling. But we've made it much smaller now. The panel, incidentally, can be cut. So out in the field, our panel is designed to be cut horizontally and or vertically. Mm-hmm. To make for the perfect size. So in essence, what, you know, the connectivity is a ribbon cable, but it's much, much smaller now.
Right.
Each panel's control unit, the system SCU, is much smaller. And the overall inherent, you know, each of the LED chips has its own IC, which is now integrated. So it makes for a much cleaner application.
So the comparable thing here, and what I always think about, is a curtain wall at something like a car dealership or an airport, a big glass curtain wall, that when marketing has been done using these windows, it's been large format printed vinyl graphics that are then kind of adhered to the glass in the same way that you would adhere wallpaper, and then joined together a series of rolls to make a very large image. That's essentially what's happening here, right? Except it's active?
Yeah, correct. So, you know, our panels are also much larger than any panels currently being produced. So, given the scenario that you described, You know, typically most of these glass panels you'll see in these types of environments have their own inherent borders within the panels. Mm-hmm. So our product, in essence, would adhere to the glass.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
The attraction to this sort of thing is twofold. One of the challenges of applying an LED media facade to the side of a building is, first of all, what it's going to look like from the inside, but also structurally, it's whether you're using transparent or traditional LED cabinets, it's very heavy. You've got to reinforce the building. You've got to have a mounting infrastructure. There's all kinds of engineering work going on. This would seem to maybe minimize the amount of engineering thought that goes into it and the additional cost of getting the thing up.
That's an excellent point, and it is absolutely true. I mean, there's, you know, there's just no question. So let me take one quick step backwards. We have one of the largest LED displays in North America set up at a warehouse. It's a large facility for online gaming. Mm-hmm. It is a huge display. One of the big challenges we had was that, you know, erecting 10 tons of LED display. Mm-hmm. And fast forward, if we were to do that again today, we would be seriously considering the use of this air clear film because its application is going to be the inherent engineering is going to be much simpler. It'll be an easier, cheaper install. Mm-hmm. It will reduce any types of liabilities and risk. There's just no question. Now, if you fast forward that and apply it to the exterior of buildings where, you know, it is absolutely necessary to bring in structural engineers, understand, you know, how weather is going to affect this, liabilities and so on. Mm-hmm. These are things that are drastically reduced. We would still want to incorporate and would suggest the end user utilize structural engineering, but it's a really brief conversation.
Now, when I've spoken with companies about outdoor LCD, what always comes up if it's a technical conversation is the merciless damage that can be imposed by sunlight. And when things like anti-reflective films have been developed to put on these things, on these displays, the concern from the nerds is the film, the plastic, is going to shrink because of the heat load.
Yeah, so, you know, when you look at the air clear film product, when we talk about heat environments and temperature, there's really two components. It's the LED, right? And, you know, it will have its own unique inherent characteristics in terms of temperature. Then the other is the film itself. You know, our film, not including the chips, you know, it's tested and rated, it has been tested at temperatures over 300 degrees Fahrenheit without any damage and shrinking. So, you know, really the limitation is not the film. Any limitation would be inherent limitations within the LED technology as it stands today. So you're bringing up an interesting point because ultimately your point leads to applications. You know, 6mm air clear film application within outdoor bus stands, you know, within the transit environment, all of these things. It opens up, you know, a whole nother potential for quick, easy setup, application, outdoor durability.
Who do you see as the clients for this, your buyers?
Well, I mean, you know, as a manufacturer, you know, ultimately, you know, we have two ultimate clients, right? It's going to be the end users who are, you know, the marketing companies, but then there's a series of middle entities. So, you know, really the industries that this product would be used in certainly are numerous. And as, you know, we just kind of touched on a few, the whole retail, indoor retail is huge. You know, transportation would be another large industry. Education, worship are, you know, large, you know, industry type applications where the film lends itself. But as, you know, as we develop here in the U.S. and worldwide, we are looking for, you know, resale partners. So, you know, that, you know, we are in that stage of developing our support network. But we feel as if, you know, this is a product that is really unique, and it opens up. It's a first. It doesn't fit into an existing product category. Mm-hmm. We're creating a new product category.
How would you compare what you're doing with what LG is doing? Obviously, LG's, you know, very large global brand, has got sales and distribution all through, well, globally, really, but certainly North America. They've got a lot of feet on the street, so to speak, but it's a different product in many respects.
Right. You know, LG makes a great product. You know, we feel as if we also have a great product with some unique characteristics that certainly separate the technologies. LG is you know, another, you know, Korean company, great company, great product, and they have an established distribution network. And so I would say, you know, just, you know, we are a new entry into this marketplace. And so, you know, give us time, but, you know, we will have and establish our sales distribution network. It's just a matter of time. In terms of product, you know, the technology and the qualities, you know, outside of the Impactrum unique inherent design, you're going to have, I think these products are here to stay. They're not going anywhere soon.
Right. And I understand you're being careful here. You don't want to criticize another manufacturer, but the LG product is an indoor product from what I understand. And its pixel pitch is at the, it would be similar to your highest or coarsest pitch display, right?
Yes, correct. So right now our 11, 8, and 6 are by far the smallest in the industry. Number one. Number two, we are the only company that has eliminated that, you know, light leaking back in. The thickness of the film is probably half the size of the LG product.
Okay.
As you identified, the product is designed for outdoor applications and use. You know, the connectivity, system control units are much smaller, tighter now. You know, there is some, again, some inherent design differentiation.
Now, when you're stripping out a whole bunch of metal and the weight and everything else, is this going to also reduce the overall project cost to do something like a media facade on the side of a building?
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's you're reducing labor hours of installation. You're reducing the engineering inherent design of the application. You're reducing liabilities because of the product just mm-hmm. doesn't open itself up to the same degree of, you know, liability. Overall, it's just a far less expensive way to apply. I mean, think about it. You know, on the exterior of glass buildings, so many buildings, even the buildings with glass frames around each panel, these can be easily applied and navigated around the frames. For those glass buildings that are frameless, you know, really what we do is represent an opportunity to, you know, easily adhere this film to that surface or there are other application methods that are very simple, very easy for facade type applications.
Is it
and
permanent?
The overall cost? Yes, I mean the design is absolutely permanent. So in other words, there are no needs to re-adhere film after a given time within. So there's no time-based maintenance, if you will.
Right. But are you
on this?
If you adhere it to glass, are you stuck with it, or it'll come off?
No, it'll come off.
Okay.
We take it off, so it can be removed without any damage to the glass surface or surrounding framing surface.
Right. So in theory, a media company that wanted to do a media launch for the 400th James Bond movie or whatever it is, they could do that for 2 months on the side of a building in on Wilshire Boulevard in L.A. and then. If they've got more money than God, just peel it off as well.
Well, yeah, they absolutely can. What I would probably suggest is keep it up there and hire another,
Yeah, I mean, for all these property developers, and you see this in New York and you see this a little bit in L.A. now, you've got commercial property guys buying high visibility properties on busy street corners, and, they're putting commercial businesses in there, but really they're turning themselves into media companies.
That's absolutely true. I mean, really, today's consumer has different expectations, and today's consumer responds to these types of messages within their shopping environment. So this is a product that absolutely matches today's marketing necessities exhibited by the consumer, and it's one that opens up a lot of flexibilities, and it really allows us to utilize existing glass or other surfaces to create a medium of marketing.
Is there any compromise in terms of what it can do? Like it can run 24 frames a second video or 33 frames per second video, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, they're RGB chips, so color. I mean, we have a large representation of color. It'll do streaming, messaging, a number of different video formats. It'll do still imaging, really whatever.
Yeah, it's a direct ULED. It just happens to be on film.
That's correct.
Okay. I'd interrupted you just as you were about to talk a little bit about price. Is the cost per square foot, how would that compare to something that was a proper LED cabinet or a transparent one?
Well, within the industry, we are probably the most price competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, there are other factors involved with pricing out this product. But without question, we're able to drive our manufacturing costs down. So within the industry, in terms of considering this film, the Impactrum Air Clear film is certainly one to absolutely consider from a price standpoint.
Right. So the material cost per square foot is going to be attractive, but also you don't have a whole bunch of labor and infrastructure costs that you would have with more conventional LED.
Yeah, if we're considering AirClear film compared to traditional LED panels, they're really from a cost standpoint of erecting this display, there's no comparison. From a standpoint of from a marketing standpoint, within certain environments, they're non-comparable. You're simply not going to put these, panels in front of windows, and it just makes no sense. But from a comparative film to film standpoint, there's a lot of value components within the AirClear film product that certainly would dictate that we'd be the most expensive on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
So where is Impactrum at as a company? I know that you said you've been around 37, 38 years. The U.S. Anaheim office is relatively new. Is that a pretty small office now that you're starting to build out?
Yes. So, from a worldwide perspective of the number of units that we have and products that we have out in the field, you know, we manufacture, you know, a number of panels to traditional outdoor panels. We have all kinds of other products that we offer. So we do have an established customer service base, a distribution network, technology design engineers, and so on. To answer your question specifically as it relates to the U.S., now that we're making our push into the U.S., that's exactly true. We have our first office is in Anaheim, California. It's going to be a warehousing and customer service location. And certainly we will grow our footprint as we develop our business here in the U.S. As we kind of touched on, Dave, earlier, we anticipate that as being a pretty quick ramp up. I think we're entering this market with some great products, and it's just we anticipate a short period of time before we're up and running, and then our growth will we'll grow accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody hears this podcast and is intrigued and they phoned you or sent you an email and said, I want to order five of these and two of those, can they buy either of them right now, or are they still kind of a few months off?
So they're a few months off for a couple reasons, one of which we have a backlog of current orders. Mm-hmm. So we're probably looking at June, July before those units, if they were to order today, would be realized.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. All right, and just last question, if people want to learn more, where do they find you online?
Online is Impactrum, impactrumusa.com. So okay. impactrumusa.com.
Okay, cool. All right, Taylor, thank you very much for spending some time with me. We had some technical hiccups, but I think we powered our way through it and finally got it done.
We did, and thank you for having me, Dave. I really appreciate it.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.